You're listening to Diffuse Tap with Kenny Estes and Isla Creme. This week, we're going deep on DEXs, aka decentralized exchanges. We're joined by Douglas Colquitt, founder of Crocodile Labs, to discuss what a DEX is and how it differs from regular centralized exchanges. We'll also discuss what trading opportunities can be found and what the regulators think about DEXs. Enjoy. Cool. Welcome one and all to Diffuse Tap. For those of you who are new, here's what's on tap. So we do this every week. This is our 103rd episode, whatever it is, event. So welcome one and all. We're going to briefly talk about Diffuse Tap and then Diffuse, aka why we do this. We're going to talk to Mr. Douglas here about DEXs for about 15 minutes. And then we're going to do two more rounds of breakout rooms, not too dissimilar from what you just experienced. And the reason is because this is, first and foremost, a networking event. About 45 minutes of our time together is in small groups to get to know each other. The audience is pretty much all alternative investors from all over the world. We chose this time specifically so we could pick up the West Coast in the US as well as much of Europe. But we do want you to come away a little more intelligent. So the insights version is where we do our fireside chat. And then we do also have in-person versions of this that are about every other week at this point, including today. If you are in the Palm Beach area, come check it out. Mr. Ross and Atita are hosting it down there because of permissionless. And then we're also going to be doing one down in Dallas next week for consensus. So check it out. It's kind of like this, but you know, in person with booze and fewer speakers. So about Diffuse, what we do is we spin up crypto funds. Two of our funds are yield farming funds focused on generating yield, and one's a market neutral way, one's a market long way. If that's of interest to you, let us know. Get you a little bit, a lot better yield than you're getting out of your bank account. And then the other one is our Diffuse Digital 30, which is a 30 coin market cap weighted index we track. That, and we're actually in the middle of IPOing that fund, should hit, well, potentially Q3 of this year. So if anybody is interested in that, let us know. We are doing a pre-IPO raise at the moment with the 50 grand minimum, where people get an actual GP stake. So potentially lucrative, but let us know if it's of interest. But with that, that's, the boring bit out of the way. We are here to hear from Mr. Douglas Colquitt. Doug, would you mind unmuting yourself and introducing yourself a little bit?
Hi, everybody. Good to be here. I should be in Palm Beach. I'm leaving right after this. So that's funny that it's there. But a little bit about myself. So I am the founder and CEO of Crocodile Labs, but we're building a protocol, CrocSwap, which is basically a new AMM decentralized exchange. We should be out on mainnet in about a month from now. I'm really excited about that. We think we're kind of bringing a lot of new and interesting things to the space. Before that, my background was mostly in the high frequency trading space. I was at Citadel, started my career there. I was on a number of smaller teams, and then in between that and actually building a protocol, I was an MEV searcher for a little bit. So trying to build a DEX or an AMM kind of more from a trader microstructure market structure perspective, having been in the trenches. So that's quick intro on my end.
Beautiful. Actually, I think you and Kenny might have more in common than I initially thought, given your high frequency trading background, but we can dig into that in a second. I will toss you in the deep end in terms of questions, and we will start off with the basics, which I've learned are really important. What is a DEX? If you were going to give us a good overview of what a DEX is.
Right. So a DEX is really can be a lot of different things. A DEX is basically, right, a DEX stands for decentralized exchange. So it's different from a central. So your traditional centralized exchange, it's a venue. So, you know, going back way back, it's a bunch of people on a trading floor. Today it's a bunch of servers in a data center, and there is one computer or one system that is centrally administered and kind of matches the orders and processes all the trades. The idea with the DEX is that instead of building a single system or a single venue or even a single entity that controls that trading, that there's a decentralized protocol. And so those run on a blockchain. So it could be Ethereum, could be Solana, could be any number of decentralized or any number of blockchains. But the idea is that there's a protocol and it's decentralized and no single party has control over how the trading is executed. So everyone can see the rules. Everyone knows how trading works and people can kind of participate with it without kind of the traditional barriers that it would take to be onloaded to a centralized exchange.
All right, so how does that actually work? So I get the concept of we have a server matching bids and offers, and now there's this smart contract thing doing something. What is the something? Like, how does it, can you try to explain that a little bit more, like actually what the code's doing?
Sure. So the traditional DEX, one thing to keep in mind is that, right, smart contracts are programs and those programs run on blockchains, but unlike traditional computer programs, it's much more computationally limited, right? Because every node in the blockchain network has to verify the computation. So it, typically you can't run a full centralized order book. There are different attempts to it, depending what blockchain you're on, do something like that. But on something like Ethereum, it just isn't computationally feasible to run your traditional limit order book. So the way DEXs actually work, or they use something called an automated market maker or an AMM for short. So basically what that looks like is that instead of having traditional market makers that come in and place bids and asks and move them around, because again, that would be kind of too intensive, too many transactions, too much computation to run on the blockchain, you have a pool of liquidity. So anyone can kind of come in and provide liquidity in that pool, which basically looks like I deposit some amount of capital. So let's say it's like the market is ETH versus USD or USDC, right? So I come in, I put an equal amount of Ethereum, I put an equal amount of USDC into the pool, and then the pool kind of sits there and that capital is providing liquidity. Then other participants can come in who actually want to access that liquidity. I want to trade, I want to buy some ETH with my USDC or sell my ETH for USDC. I go into that pool, I send a little bit of ETH into the pool. The pool sends me back some USDC at the current market price. And then the more ETH I send or the more USDC I send, the more quote unquote slippage occurs. And then the price moves over time. And so basically the pool is always trying to balance out the value of the two pairs in the pool. Now there's a lot of variations you can do on that. There's kind of concentrated liquidity, which means, okay, maybe I'm only providing liquidity in certain ranges. There are pools that add more than two assets, so maybe three, four, five, whatever. There are special types of algorithms that work with, like when you know the exchange rate, like USDT and USDC should always theoretically be one-to-one. So there's a lot of variations you can do, but the idea is, right, you have two sides. You have swappers who want to trade, and you have liquidity providers who want to earn some yield on their capital. So it's a way for liquidity providers come in and provide capital, and that generates some sort of yield. So that's in a nutshell, hopefully.
Beautiful. And I have a couple of questions here. I think people are really interested in the whole concept of an AMM. How does this whole thing relate to option markets, actually, when it comes to trading option markets, especially in crypto? Is AMM the future? Or is that kind of a pipe dream still?
Sure. So on options specifically, it's a really interesting question. So one interesting property of AMMs is they kind of, if you're a liquidity provider, you're kind of short gamma all the time, right? So like going back to options 101, there's this concept of gamma, right? So the higher the volatility is, the more money I make. I'm long options, so I'm long gamma. And then if I'm short options, I'm short gamma, and more volatility is kind of bad for me. So being a liquidity provider is actually, in some sense, being short gamma or short convexity, because you're basically always, your portfolio is always kind of rebalancing in the wrong direction, right? So if Ethereum's going up, you're continuing to sell Ethereum and getting USD, right? And kind of you're losing on the way up. And then and vice versa, you're also losing on the way down. So the more kind of the price moves around, the worse it is for you as a liquidity provider. I mean, you hope that kind of the yield you generate from the fees in the pool outweighs that. But in some sense, when I'm providing liquidity into a pool, I'm taking a bet on like how volatile this price is going to be. And I'm betting that it's hopefully not going to be that volatile. So there's a lot of kind of interesting connections between that and kind of traditional options theory. And there's a lot of, especially with concentrated liquidity, because you can kind of set your ranges at certain prices where you stop providing liquidity, that starts looking a lot kind of like a traditional option with a strike price. So there's a lot of interesting kind of mathematical work being done around it, but a lot of it's kind of in early research stage about how to turn X into Y. It's not, there are kind of some wrinkles on the side on how to do that. So that's in terms of the option linkage with options. The other question, are AMMs the future? It's a tough question. We'll see who can answer it. I personally think there's a couple of very interesting properties you get with AMMs that maybe people didn't really appreciate until they were in the wild. But one thing is, it's very hard for me to go to NASDAQ and provide liquidity. I'm just a random guy, and I want to say, hey, I want to go provide liquidity on Microsoft. Well, good luck, right? Like, you're going to have to be co-located. You're going to have very kind of sophisticated market making algorithms. There's kind of a limit order book makes it inaccessible for kind of average people to provide liquidity, or so they're very kind of undemocratic in that sense. And AMM, right? Like, we're all in the pool together, pretty much all in the pool together. So there, you know, we kind of rise and fall together. It's very hard for one participant to get a kind of a systematic leg up, like the way you can in a limit order book if you have low latency and you can get to the front of the queue. So I think that's a very interesting property. And the other kind of nice thing that falls out from that is, I think, like, high frequency liquidity providers are great, but they tend to be very thinly capitalized, right? Because they're just there for huge returns on a small amount of capital. So you do get kind of a system where when all that liquidity gets exhausted, there's no one, kind of average people can't step in, or non-sophisticated participants can't step in and provide liquidity. So I think AMMs have a lot to add in terms of getting a larger range of participants the ability to provide liquidity. And to be honest, I think we'll probably keep innovating on the mechanism side. And I think in the future, you'll see not just AMM, not just limit order book, but something that kind of looks like somewhere in between, I think is probably the best.
Makes a lot of sense. And you didn't touch on one of the other unintended consequences of TradFi, which is the arms race of shipping information through satellites and microwave towers, which is just super expensive and not clear that it actually really benefits society. So there's something there. How big is this? So DEXs, we talked about how they actually work. Is it got significant traction? Maybe volume's not the most meaningful number there, but assets?
Assets. Well, I mean, it is hard to compare assets. Again, going back, AMMs are not as capital efficient as traditional market making, because kind of you can't, for a traditional market making, I can put a little bit of liquidity at the top of the book and move around when prices move. But traditionally AMMs, they're kind of more capital intensive because you can't move around liquidity. So you kind of have to provide liquidity through larger price ranges. That being said, AMMs, the amount of liquidity, the assets in them are on the order of 10 billion, depending, you know, which protocols you're looking at, which blockchains you're looking at. Volumes are pretty meaningful, though. Volumes are on the order of 1 to 2 billion a day, depending on the day. But, you know, that Uniswap, which is the biggest protocol, is not too far behind Coinbase. So that gives you some sense of how big they are.
Maybe digging a little bit deeper into kind of the opportunity set that's available on a DEX and not on a traditional exchange. What is your thinking around that? Like, what are the kinds of opportunities that you can get access to in one of these DEXs that traders just wouldn't
get to
in other venues?
So the simplest thing is AMMs are permissionless. So if I want to spin, if there's a new token out, I can spin up anyone. You don't even need the token creator's permission. Anyone can spin up a new pool on Uniswap or any other AMM and create a pool. And now we have a market for this token. So I think one big reason that AMMs kind of took off in 2020 is because they kind of serve this long tail of assets. So it's always kind of been a problem. If I could create a new token or create a kind of a new digital asset, there's this chicken and egg problem. No one wants to trade it until it's on Coinbase or Binance or whatever, but Binance or Coinbase doesn't want to list it until people are actually trading it and there's some sort of market validation for it. So one interesting thing about AMMs is that they have a way, way more assets, especially that longer tail, smaller cap assets than exist on Coinbase or Binance or other centralized exchanges. So it is very, if you do kind of want to get in very early, or, you know, at early stages of projects or tokens, AMMs are often the only way to do that. From kind of a more sophisticated trader's perspective, there's also, you know, the opportunity to provide liquidity and earn a yield in a way that there isn't really any similar way in centralized exchanges. And then finally, if you're just trading and you're executing, you know, a lot of the people I've talked to in this space are saying, okay, we're doing as much volume on, you know, on big funds, we're doing as much volume from DEXs as we are centralized exchanges, because when we look, we often, you know, we have smart order routers, we're often getting better execution at DEXs than we are. The price at DEXs are often better or tighter than they are at centralized exchanges. So I think there's also an opportunity if you're running a big fund and you're executing a lot of volume, you shouldn't be ignoring the DEX space.
Makes sense. I got a softball question from Tim. You're going to love this one. What sets you apart from the rest of the DEXs? What's unique about your offering?
Sure. So that's a great question. So we've built a number of factors in. So we're a concentrated liquidity DEX. There's really only one other Uniswap out there right now. So that's the first thing. We've also built our offering to be substantially more competitive in terms of you know, what's called gas costs. So anytime you do kind of operations on the blockchain, there's gas costs associated with it, which is what you pay just to the Ethereum network to run. So, you know, if people are paying $100 and they can pay $50 to use our network, that we think that's pretty big value add, especially for smaller users. But we're also building kind of a lot of interesting new primitives in the space. So we have this concept of permissioned pools, and those don't just have to be our permission pools, but those could be any kind of Oracle. So one obvious example, I think people have been left out, or more institutions, they need to kind of know their counterparty, have kind of, right, they can't go into a DEX and not know who they're trading against. So, right, we can build both kind of the permissionless pools and permissioned or kind of KYC whitelisted pools side by side. So you can kind of pick and choose what sets best. And then the other thing that we're innovating on is, one problem with AMMs is it hasn't been great for liquidity providers because going back to it, right, often that kind of convexity cost outweighs the kind of the fees you're earning. And traditionally AMMs just have a fixed fee. So, you know, it's 30 basis points or whatever in a given pool. One problem with that is, right, like market makers, when you look at them, often narrow their quotes when volatility is low or there's not much toxicity in the market, and they widen their quotes. So as an LP in an AMM pool, you're not getting those few times where the market's just crazy volatile and people will pay up for liquidity. And you're kind of, a lot of AMMs basically sell liquidity too cheap during times of volatility, and liquidity providers are not kind of getting the yields that they could. So we're doing a lot of interesting things around kind of dynamically setting the fees and making sure liquidity providers are kind of charging accurate amounts for liquidity depending on market conditions.
I might hop in with one question actually that made its way over to Telegram for some exciting reason. Someone was wondering about passively LPing versus without any kind of incentives of any kind. Is that going to be a sustainable way of operating, or kind of these juicy incentives that are being offered right now, the backbone of this industry?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting question. We've done a lot of research around that, is how do you actually incentivize liquidity providers without, and just to give some context, what that usually means is incentivizing is the, not only will you earn the fees generated by the pool, but some external party, could be the DEX, it could be the token itself trying to incentivize its own liquidity, what will give you additional rewards on top for providing liquidity. So it's kind of, I think, a really good thing to bootstrap liquidity when a market's just getting started out. But the problem is that too many protocols have kind of become addicted to it. And most of the yield is just coming from these token emissions, and long-term, right, that's not kind of a sustainable model, because it's just, right, it's just diluting the token supply over time. So going back to it, I think it hasn't been great now. We have a number of ideas around that. I think the dynamic fee thing is a big thing, because you do lose out on kind of fees you could be earning in higher volatility regimes where people would actually pay for it. So as a passive provider, maybe that's not so great. The other problem with DEXs is that the order flow is very toxic. To be honest, there's a lot of bots that are just sitting there arbitraging prices between centralized and decentralized exchanges. And ultimately, that comes out of the pocket of liquidity providers. There's also kind of MEV, what's called like just-in-time liquidity, that basically picks the pocket of passive liquidity providers. So we have a couple of mechanisms around that, especially the MEV type stuff that I think will enhance the yield. And right now it's about break even. So I don't think it takes much to kind of make the toxicity a little worse, make the fees a little bit higher. And I think the kind of makes the equation a lot more long-term sustainable.
Well, that's great. Well, we do try to keep it to about 15 minutes for the fireside chat. There's lots of questions, so keep them coming and join the Telegram group after this so that y'all can potentially get some of them more answered. But for the breakout room specifically, couple of housekeeping items. One is it's not a pitching session. It is a networking session. Please be respectful of that. Be kind to one another. We're all just here to connect. So respect that as well. And then we don't do a full participant list for privacy reasons. So if you meet somebody, get their contact info then and there in the breakout room or join the Telegram group, which I've now mentioned twice. And Douglas, a threat when we come back in between the breakout rooms, we are going to ask you to put on your crystal ball or to pull out your crystal ball and tell us what you're excited about, what's coming down the pipe. But do you want to talk about specifically the breakout rooms?
Yeah, I'll pop you into groups of 5-6 folks. Definitely stick around. These are all alternative investors of various kinds. I'm noticing there's a lot of HFT people here today. So I think you make some fast friends if that's your game. I'll give you a question, but don't feel beholden to discuss what the topic that I give you. But if you're thinking of DEXs, what is the barrier to entry? Why have they not gone more mainstream than the stage that they're at today? I'll pop into rooms now, and we'll see you back here in 10 minutes.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Bonnie, sorry I didn't get to hear more about the plot of the book you're reading.
Oh, no worries.
Douglas, as promised, please. Suse, tell us what's coming down the pipe. What are you excited about?
Yeah, I mean, the big thing I'm excited about is that I think there's going to be either, you know, what are called L2s for rollups and kind of all these other chains that are much higher throughput and higher computation. So one thing like with blockchains is there's kind of like a Moore's Law type effect where kind of the throughput of blockchains increases every year, which means you can kind of do more complex stuff on chain. So right now, even kind of simple stuff, especially in Ethereum, where most of capital lives, it is pretty expensive. And I think that kind of scalability is going to increase a lot, which means we're going to have the opportunity to kind of run more complex programs on chain. So specifically for DEXs, I think what that means is that we'll be able to kind of move away from these simple models of just deposit capital and earn a yield and very simple swap fees to something a lot more sophisticated in terms of kind of dynamically responding to markets and kind of blocks will be produced faster, things will move faster and they'll kind of move with more computational complexity. So I think we're going to see a convergence, kind of like I mentioned before, between traditional AMMs and limit order books. Now, a lot of people think, okay, that's just going to be, okay, AMMs will go, everyone, limit order books are the best. But I think we've learned a lot of lessons from AMM world, particularly around allowing average people to participate. So I think we'll see kind of really cool opportunities going forward where people can start kind of getting the type of not like quite like, right, like HFT like returns, but start getting kind of more reliable returns by providing liquidity or taking risk and maybe even separating out kind of the risk from the capital side in a way that you can't really do on kind of current blockchains because just the computation capacity isn't there.
Gotcha. Love it. Complexity and sophistication. That's where we're heading, which sounds bang on, right? And is inevitable because it's we plug Matt Levine a lot around here and he likes to say that crypto is just relearning the lessons of financial services in a very rapid manner. So I think that complexity is the next logical step. Ayla, do you want to talk about another breakout room? You're muted, by the way.
All right, let's do it. I'll put you back into rooms. Hopefully get some other people this time around. No guarantees though. And I'll give you another topic. Again, don't feel obliged to talk about that one. But have you actually made a trade on a DEX before? What was that experience like? This could maybe be some good feedback for Douglas as he builds his product out. Have you made a DEX trade before? And what was that like? I'll pop you into rooms now and we will see you all back here just before the hour.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. We're going to do a quick wrap up and let you out of here right on time. I mean, let you. You could have left at any time. Let's face it. But either way, you're still here. So up next week, passive farmland investing. Something a little bit different. It should be a good conversation. As a reminder, we do have, if you're in Palm Beach area, check this out. We got an in-person version of this today. And then also on May 26th, aka next week, we have one in Dallas. Isla has put the link to the Telegram group in the chat. Join, introduce yourself, ask for something. People are great, especially for making connections, because this is a networking event. So there's a bit of a self bias there. Isla, same question as always. What did I forget?
Just mentioning that June 1 close is coming up in some 12 days or so. So if you're keen to participate in our IPO raise at the new, little bit lower minimum, then definitely hop in. We're always happy to have new folks, and we're trying to hit 30 people minimum, shareholder minimum, by the end of this month. So if you want to participate, join us. Otherwise, big thank you to Mr. Colquitt. Really appreciate you joining us today and kind of giving us a really deep expert review of all things DEXIS.
Thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pleasure.
Always. And thank you, everybody, for coming out. And we hope to see you in 6 days and 23 hours.
Yep.
See you later.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. There we go, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Diffuse Tap with Isla Krem and Kenny Estes. If you enjoyed these conversations, join us for the live version every Wednesday-ish at 10 a.m. Central. In addition to the fireside chat, the live event features three rounds of networking in small groups with alternative fund GPs, LPs, and supporters from around the world. Log on to www.diffusefunds.com to register yourself now.